If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Exodus. I would like to read from Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. I encourage you to follow in the Bibles. The Word of God here is describing how God delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and some of the blessings that God poured out and miracles that God performed to bring about a great change in the circumstances and conditions and how God blessed the nation of Israel. I encourage you to read chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. There are four or five chapters here that are just very beautiful to read and study how God led, directed, and blessed His people. We studied some this morning from the book of Exodus, and the end of chapter 14 describes how God destroyed the Egyptians as the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea on dry ground. Then it talks about how the waters came back down on the Egyptians and they were destroyed. And then in chapter 15, and chapter 14 closes with a description of the children of Israel coming through the Red Sea, and then it talks about how the children of Israel began to sing a great song. And I want you to notice in chapter 15, I'm not going to read all of the song, the first 20 verses, Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 20, are the song that Moses and the children of Israel, that's the song that they sang after they came through the Red Sea. I just want to read the first two or three verses and then come down to one other verse that's on my heart that's in the middle of this song. You know, songs ought to always express truth. The Word of God says that we're to sing in the Spirit and sing with understanding. It's just as important that we sing truth as it is that we preach truth. So always be careful about the songs that you sing and think about the words that you sing. Think about the fact that we're to teach one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So as we read this song of Moses that is recorded here in Exodus chapter 15, there are just a multitude of truths that are in this song. I want to read from Exodus chapter 15 now, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Word of God says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him." He comes on down and continues to praise God in this song. I want you to come down now to verse 13. The song continues, and in verse 13, this is again now still part of the song. The people of God were singing and saying in verse 13, "Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." I want us to think about that 13th verse, whereas the children of Israel were praising God. The main thing they were praising God in that particular part of the psalm is that God had led them and guided them. Now, God had blessed them in many, many ways, but the main thing that they're concentrating on that particular expression, they said, "Thou in thy mercy." I want you to know that it was because of the mercy of God that God blessed them. Guess why He blesses us also today? It's still because of the mercy and the grace of God. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever, and that's the reason that we're still being blessed today, is because of the mercy and the grace of God. "Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed, and thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." I want you to think about how God led them and God guided them. But as we begin to look at God guiding and leading the children of Israel, not only out of Egyptian bondage, but then He led them through the wilderness and He led them on into the land of Canaan. And as they went into the land of Canaan, God led them from one place to another in the land of Canaan. God was guiding and leading them all of the way. And I want you to know that as we look back on our lives, and I would ask every one of you tonight to just think about the past of your life. And can you look back and can you identify and can you see that just as God led and guided the children of Israel, whom He had redeemed, can you also look back in your life and can you testify and sing and praise God for the same reason that they did? Can you actually, honestly, truthfully say God has guided you and God has led you in many, many different ways in your life? Can you see the providential hand of God that has been leading you and guiding you, sometimes when you were asking for His guidance, but many, many times in our lives, I believe that God is leading and guiding us, and we're not even asking for His help, but God is guiding anyway. The Word of God tells us in the New Testament that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? They are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God does lead us. We need to always be praying, God, please guide me and lead me. The Word of God says that in that example prayer that we tried to pray this morning, one of the things that we're to pray, not only to lead us in particular ways, but we're to pray that God will lead us not into temptation. There are some things we need to pray, God, lead me not into temptation, but lead me in paths of righteousness for Thy name's sake. We need to be praying for God to lead us. Brother Philip, in his prayer, one of the things that he said in the first prayer that the audible prayer that we heard tonight, one of the things he says is, we don't even know which way to go, but God does know the right way and the good way for us to go. And that's what we need to do. We need to acknowledge, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know which direction to go in. I'm not sure what's right in my life, but my eyes are upon You, and I'm asking You to guide me and lead me in my life. God is the only one that knows the best way for us to walk. Every path that we take, every decision that we make in our lives, we need to be praying and asking God to please guide us and lead us so that we can make right decisions in our lives. I want you to go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. When you think about God leading you, and I want you to listen very carefully right now, when you think about God leading you, I believe that there are two very different ways sometimes that God leads us. Now, there are a lot of different methods that God has in leading His people. But sometimes God leads us in paths that are very, very hard and very difficult. When God was leading the children of Israel and He led them out of Egyptian bondage, was God leading them in an easy path or was God leading them down a very difficult path in their lives? It was a very difficult path. It was not something that anybody would choose. It was not a direction that anybody would want to go. The path that God was leading them down was a hard path to walk. It was a difficult path, and yet it was the path that God had chosen for them. And in fact, if you look through the Word of God at all the different saints of God, you'll find that as God led them, that many times He was leading them down a very difficult path. Do you think when God led Noah to build the ark, was that an easy or a difficult path that God was leading him in there? When God led Abraham to take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, take him up on that mountain and offer him as a sacrifice, was that an easy path or a very difficult path that God had called Abraham to walk down? And all through the Word of God, I want you to know that when we think about God leading us and we're asking God to lead us and guide us, we need not ever be deceived into thinking that when God leads us, that things are going to be easy or that it's not going to be a difficult task. Sometimes when God leads us, it is a very hard path that He leads us down. And we need to remember that. And we need to remember that there is a reason for every direction that God leads us. The first thing I want us to do tonight is to look at the fact that sometimes God leads us down difficult paths. That's what He did to the children of Israel. Now I want you to notice in Deuteronomy chapter 8, look in your Bibles please at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. God is speaking to the children of Israel and He says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God," what's the next word there? "Led thee." All the way that the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now, He tells us three reasons that He had led them in the wilderness. He says, "I have led them in the wilderness to," what's the first thing? "To humble thee." Brethren, if you have a life of ease, is it probable that you're not going to be humble? The easier that things are in life, the fewer troubles you have in life, the more lifted up in pride you'll get. But when you have a very difficult path to walk down, it will humble you. The children of Israel being led through the wilderness and all the things that they were led by God, the difficult paths they had, it humbled them. And I want you to remember that we need to be humbled by God. And sometimes the paths He leads us down, that's one of the purposes of those paths is to humble us. And the second reason He says that He had led them down that difficult path is to prove thee. That means to try their faith. Have you ever had your faith tried as God has led you down a path and it turned out to be a very difficult path? You know, sometimes when we think that we feel God is leading us, and you know God is leading you, how do you feel when you have that assurance from God, "Now this is the way God would have me to walk"? How do you feel when you first have that real assurance, "Now this is what God would have me to do"? How do you feel when you begin to go in that direction?
Strong.
Feel good. Feel wonderful to know this is what God would have me to do. I know that this is the Lord's will in my life. I know this is the path He would have me to take. But I want you to know that sometimes it's going to be a very difficult path that we have to go down. He's going to lead us down those paths to humble us and to prove us or to try our faith. And then the third thing He says, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. We need to understand that sometimes God leads us down very difficult paths. Have you ever prayed for God to do something in your life to bring you closer to Him? Have you ever prayed as you felt far away from God, as you felt like that you were not as close to God as you ought to be? Have you ever prayed and said, "God, please do something to bring me back into closer fellowship with You"? Do you know what God will often do when you pray that prayer? God will often bring great trouble in your lives because it's in the midst of our troubles and afflictions and problems that we're drawn closer to God. We're made to realize how weak and frail we are. We're made to realize that we don't have any wisdom and understanding. We don't know what to do. We don't know which direction to go in. We cannot. Have you ever felt like you just couldn't go one step further on? Have you ever been so weak and weary and faint in your life that you felt like, "I just can't go on one more step"? And yet God's grace seems to just reach down and lift you up and give you the strength and grace that you need to go on. And what can you do, like we read about last Wednesday night about Samson and the lion? What are you able to do after you've had to fight a big battle like that? What are you later able to do as you go back and look on those experiences in your life? You're able to eat sweet honey out of the carcass of the lion. You're able to go back and see, "God really loves me. God really cares for me. God upheld me. Though God led me down a path that I would have never chosen in my life, yet I know that the hand of God was guiding and leading." Now, God not only leads us down paths like we're reading about here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, but does God sometimes then, after we've been led down those difficult paths, does God then sometimes lead us down paths that have a very wonderful experience instead of a trying of our faith? Have you ever been led? Well, let's turn to Psalm 23 and just see if you can relate to what David was talking about in the 23rd Psalm. He's talking about God leading him And yet when David is writing here in Psalm 23, he's writing about being led down a path that the result and the feeling and the consequence that he had in the path that God was leading him in here was much different than the path that the children of Israel had been walking down in Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Psalm 23, listen please to the first four verses. And I know that you know these words by heart, but I just want to show you a major contrast in the path that God will sometimes lead you down. In fact, I will say that you will never appreciate the place that David is speaking about here in Psalm 23 that God will lead you into. You never appreciate where He leads you to there until He has first led you down the other path that we mentioned from Deuteronomy and from Exodus. Psalm 23, verse 1, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Do you know when it is that God makes you to lie down in green pastures? It's when you need to lie down. Have you ever needed to lie down? Not wanted to lie down, but you needed to lie down. Sometimes God will cause you to lay down when you didn't want to lay down. Does everybody understand that? Sometimes God will stop you in your tracks, and it will not be at a time that you want to lay down. But God has a way to make you. The Word of God says here, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And then listen to the next expression in the second verse. Psalm 23, verse 2. The second part of the second verse says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." Do you see a major difference in Psalm 23, verse 2, where the Word of God says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters"? Is that completely different from the path that they were led down back there in the book of Exodus and in the book of Deuteronomy? Completely opposite kind of leading. But what kind of way do we always want? What kind of way does our flesh always want to be led down? We always want to be led down the path like is being described here. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." I love to be led by God by the still waters. Not me deciding to go lay down by the still waters, but I love it when God sometimes says, like He did to the apostles there, when He said, "Come ye apart and rest a while." Aren't you glad when God sometimes leads you beside the still waters? Because you've been going through very difficult times and you've been laboring and you're weak and weary and faint, you're heavy laden, and God will just lead you beside the still waters. How do you feel when God leads you beside those still waters? Do you feel comforted? Do you feel refreshed? Do you feel lifted up? Do you feel everything that you need to feel in your life when God leads you beside the still waters? God leads us sometimes by the still waters, but that's not the only place He leads us. Listen to verse 3 now. "He restoreth my soul." Isn't that one of the things that happens when He leads us beside the still waters? "He restoreth my soul." And then the next expression in verse 3 says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Listen, brethren, whenever we are doing what God's Word tells us to do, it's God that is leading us in paths of righteousness. And being led down those paths of righteousness and doing what's right in the sight of God, that's often a very difficult thing that God calls us to do. But when does God lead us down those paths of righteousness? I know there's a sense in which He always leads us there. But I believe that when you're called on to have a special trial and affliction and being led down a path of righteousness that's very difficult, I believe that before God does that, He'll lead you beside the still waters and He'll restore your soul, and then He'll lead you down those paths of righteousness that are very difficult. And then in verse 4 He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for..." Now, does God sometimes lead you through the valley of the shadow of death? Does God sometimes lead you through difficult times in your life? Does He always lead us beside the still waters? Does He always lead us in paths that we want to walk in? No, He leads us in very difficult paths. But He's always with us, and He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." That's the main thing I want to get from this verse is, everywhere God leads you, God will be with you. God will never lead you down a path except God is with you on that path. No matter how difficult the paths are, Jesus will be with you and He will help you as you go down those paths. It's a great blessing to know that Jesus has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a blessing to know that as we have paths that we have to walk down, as we are led and guided by the Spirit of God, it's a great blessing to know that God will be with us when we walk down those difficult paths. Now, go with me to the New Testament just a moment. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And this chapter, Revelation chapter 7, is right in the middle of a lot of woes and difficult things that are happening, a lot of judgments. But right in the middle of all of these judgments, there's a promise of great blessing. There's a remnant of the children of Israel that have been serving God and obeying God in Revelation chapter 7. And these in Revelation chapter 7 are sealed with they have the seal of God in their foreheads. These in Revelation chapter 7 are people that are not going to experience the judgments of God. Do you know why they're not going to experience the severe judgments of God? Because as God led them, they followed Him in paths of righteousness. As God led them, they looked to God for the strength and the grace they needed, and they obeyed God, feared God, and kept His commandments. And now, before God sends forth His judgment on Jerusalem, what's He going to do to this 144,000 that have overcome the devil and all of his temptations? God's going to seal them. And here's what they're going to be led to. I want you to look at Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, the Word of God says, "For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall..." What's the next thing after He feeds them? Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17. I said 14, didn't I? Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17. "For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them." And that "them," if you go back and look at this whole chapter is talking about those that had overcome the temptations of the devil and had been following God. And now God says, the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. Why is He doing that? Why is God leading these people to these living fountains of waters? Where had He led them before this? What kind of paths had they already been walking down? They had been walking back down very difficult paths. God had led them in paths of righteousness, and they had suffered, but they had endured, and they had overcome. And now, after they have been led down those paths, now God is going to lead them, the Scripture says here, "lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Brethren, I hope we can understand that we need God to guide us every day. Have you ever made decisions in your life without asking God to guide you? Have you ever made decisions in your life that you look back and you knew you made a wrong decision, you chose the wrong path? We need to all be praying every day, not just for ourselves, but we need to be praying for each other. There are a lot of people in this congregation that are making decisions, aren't there? What about all these teenagers? Do they need your prayers? I don't know of anybody that needs prayer any more than the teenagers do. They need your prayers. And I encourage you and beg you in the name of Christ, pray for them every day. These young people need God's help. They need God's guidance. They need God to lead them in paths of righteousness. They need God to lead them beside the still waters. And I just encourage all of you to pray for our teenagers. Let me just ask you in closing, I want you to tell me some of the ways that God leads His people. What are some of the ways that God leads His people? You just tell me in closing, what are the ways, I'm not talking about what are the paths now, but what different kinds of ways does God use to lead His people? Let me just kind of get you started. In John chapter 16 and verse 13, the Word of God says that when the Spirit of truth is come, when the Spirit of God is come, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will, what's the next word? He will lead you into all truth. Does God sometimes lead us by His Holy Spirit? Have you ever prayed and just felt the Holy Spirit was guiding you and directing you and leading you? That's one way that God leads you, is by His Holy Spirit. A second way that God leads you, listen carefully, and this is very important. One way that God leads you is by His Word. And let me just emphasize that for just a minute. If you're not going to follow what God has laid out in His Word, if you're not going to follow this leadership, what does David say in Psalm 119, or the Psalmist 119:105? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you're following this guide, and that's what the Word of God is. The Word of God is a guide for God's people. It's a leadership tool. And if you're not following this Word, then don't ever try following the leadership of the Spirit, because you'll follow the wrong spirit if you're not following the Word of God. How many of you have ever felt like you were led one way and it wasn't God that led you that way? Have you ever felt that way? I have. There have been times in my life I've made decisions. I thought I was being led by God. It turned out I was being led by the devil. That's the reason the Spirit of God says, try the spirits whether they be of God. How can you tell the difference in the devil and Jesus Christ? You might say, oh, that's easy. I'll tell you it's not easy sometimes. When you have very difficult decisions to make in your life, and it's not a decision that's spelled out in the Word of God, it's going to take the wisdom of Solomon. It's going to take wisdom from God. It's going to take the wisdom from Jesus Christ for you to make the right decisions. But here's a promise that God's given us. If you'll follow His Word, in fact, Brother Mike, Proverbs 3:5-6, you tell me what it says.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths.
In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge Him. What are we doing as a church if we're following the Word of God? What are we doing as a church if we're following God's Word? We're saying, God, we don't know what's best. We can't make decisions without You, but we know what Your Word says. We're going to follow Your Word. We must, as a church, we must in our homes, we must as a nation, if we want God's blessings on our nation, we must follow God's Word. Otherwise, God will lead us down a path. God will lead us down a path that will be a path of outer darkness and destruction if we don't follow the Word of God. God leads us by His Spirit, doesn't He? God leads us by His Word. Has God ever led you by other people? Does God sometimes use people to lead you? You remember Philip went to the eunuch and asked the eunuch while the eunuch was reading. He said, understandest thou what thou readest? What did the eunuch say? How can I except what? Except some man guide me. And Philip began to preach the Word of God and preach Jesus to him out of Isaiah chapter 53. Philip preached Jesus to him. Philip was guiding the eunuch into the truth of God's Word. And the eunuch saw the truth because a man guided him. Did you know that in my life I have had many, many, many people who have guided me? My parents guided me. And I thank God for the parents I had that guided me and taught me the way of God. My parents guided me. I had teachers. As I was meditating and studying on this week, I began to think about individual teachers I had. One in the 4th grade, one in the 6th grade, one in the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grades. I began to think about teachers that I know God put me in those classes for me to have a teacher that had a profound effect on my life. I've had preachers. I still, to this day, this week, I've called 2 different preachers to ask them about some specific things in the Word of God. Do you need people to guide you and help you? Can you get bad advice? Can you get wrong advice? You better be careful about who you ask to guide you. But we need to thank God that God has given us His Spirit, He's given us His Word, and He's given us His people to help guide us. May God help us to follow God's Word and God's way in every aspect of our lives, is my prayer for Christ's sake.